Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. On Mount Moriah, a sacrifice was interrupted. An angel called from heaven to make sure Abraham did not kill his willing son Isaac, as God had commanded. Total obedience was proven, and God provided another sacrifice, a ram. For us, he also provided a sacrifice, Jesus, his only son. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on strength for the journey, Pastor Lutzer is in Genesis chapter 22. In this message, A Tested Faith, God provides another sacrifice.
Abraham was not allowed to kill his son. He was prevented from doing so. So Isaac, the typology, breaks down after Isaac is rescued from the altar. And so in order to complete the picture, God takes this ram that is caught in the thicket by its horns that Abraham sees, and he kills it. And you'll notice that the text says in the last part of verse 13, he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. It is now a substitutionary sacrifice, which is exactly what Jesus was when he died on the cross. He died, the Bible says, he was just, but he died for the unjust. He died for the ungodly. You remember, I've told you the story before, but it's a story I love to tell about a woman who is very opinionated and very opposed to the gospel. She was open to it, but she had her own vision as to what the gospel should be. But I said, would you consider yourself to be ungodly? Are you kidding? Of course not. I'm not ungodly. I said, you know, that's really too bad. Then Jesus didn't die for you, because the Bible said he died for the ungodly. I'm glad personally that Jesus died for the ungodly, because I am ungodly. And I think in a moment of honesty, you're ungodly too. And so the Bible says that Jesus died, the just for the unjust. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and the Lord provided for Abraham. Imagine the new conception of God Abraham had when he came down from that mountain. Oh, we could read the rest of the story, and I hope you do, about how God reiterated the covenant. God says, indeed, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your seed, and God is going to pick up now. Isaac, of course, is alive, and he's going to become the father of a great nation, and so forth. And his whole conception of God was different when he came down from the mountain. One of the reasons I want to see it on video is I just want to see what the different expression when Abraham went up to the mountain and as to what he looked like when he came down from the mountain. Having proved that he feared God, having proved that he loved God, and God comes to him in fresh, brand new ways. What are the greatest lessons that we can learn from this? First of all, worship always involves sacrifice. Worship always involves sacrifice. You'll notice it says in verse 5, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and then we'll come to you. You say, well, I always thought that worshiping was coming to church and singing the right hymns. Well, it is that. And if you come to Moody Church, God knows you sing the right hymns, don't you? We make sure that you do. And what wonderful hymns we sang today. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. And it is well with my soul. He said, I thought that was worship. Well, yeah, that's worship. The fruit of our lips. But biblically, worship means that I bring myself, I bring an offering. In the Old Testament, in the temple, they always came with something for God, even when we're invited out for dinner somewhere. Thanks to the good memory of my wife, we stop and at least buy a box of chocolate somewhere to bring to people. Amazing how many people come into God's presence Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they bring him nothing. Worship always involves sacrifice. And then we have Romans chapter 12, give your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. That's where it starts. It begins by saying, God, you have myself first. That's worship. And Jesus chided people who thought that because they said the right words and sang the right songs that they were worshiping. And he said, no, you're doing it, and your heart is far from me. Worship is sacrifice. Second lesson, and that is that when God wants to expose the idols in our lives, he sometimes chooses what is most precious to test us. And what is most precious but our children? But let me ask the question this way. What would it take for you to turn away from God? If God took your children, would you turn away from God? If God allowed you to go through a difficult marriage, you go through the gut-wrenching process of a divorce, would that make you turn from God? What is it that is in my life and in your life that means more to us than God, so that we can actually just dispense with God and turn against him if things do not go our way and if he does not cooperate with our vision of happiness? I suppose that the greatest idol in our lives actually is the idol of happiness. We think to ourselves, I deserve a vocation in which I'm happy. I deserve a marriage in which I'm happy. I deserve living situations in which I'm happy. And there's nothing wrong with improving those. But I'm simply saying that sometimes what our happiness is so bound up with what we want that we lose the larger vision of obedience and love of God, which lies at the root of the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's the greatest sin, is to not love God with your whole heart. And everything flows from there, doesn't it? This summer I was at Bug House Square, you know, a mile south of here at the Newberry Library, and I was giving my defense of Christ to an audience that was not entirely receptive. A few of you were there, so you know, you're given a bullhorn and then you can say anything that you like. And I was giving a defense of Jesus, and people can interrupt you. It's great fun. I mean, you know, they can shout at you, they can say things that we wouldn't say in church, and you just enjoy the banter. But when it was over, there was a woman who was very indignant. She said to me, because I ended by a personal testimony at the age of 14, accepting Jesus, she said, what sin did you commit by the age of 14 for which you needed forgiveness? I guess she thought I was going to say, well, you know, I actually killed my brother. But I didn't do that. Felt like it many times. Problem is, he felt like that too with his brother. I looked at her and I said, you know what my problem was? I broke the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I said, I broke that commandment. And she just looked at me and walked away. It's the greatest sin you can commit. To have a child, a vocation, something in the place of God that means more to you than God himself. That is idolatry, and that is sin. Abraham proved. What is it that God needs to do for you before you draw near to him? He said, well, until he resolves this difficulty, until I get justice, I'm not going to have a thing to do with God. Until I can understand his ways, until I can see what God's up to in the world, I'm not going to have a thing to do with him. That's idolatry, because you're withholding something from God. There's something that means more in your life than he does. The final lesson is, of course, that we'll never give up the creature. We'll never give up the creature until we have been satisfied with the Creator. We'll never give up the creature until we're satisfied with the Creator. Only when we are willing to say, God, you're first, you're number one, then, of course, all of the other things fall into line. But as long as we are narcissistic, filled with unrecognized self-absorption, and that, by the way, is the greatest hindrance to progress in the spiritual life, is unrecognized self-absorption. As long as we're there, you see, we are not going to be able to love God. And when we don't love him, we'll always put him in second, third, fourth, or fifth place. And so the angel comes out of heaven and says to Abraham, Abraham, he says, yes, here I am. Now I know that you fear God. How much is a man willing to do for God? Abraham tells us, anything he asks. Is that your heart today? Is that my heart today? Jesus, when he was here on earth, centuries after Abraham, 19 or 20 centuries later, said to some of the people who were criticizing him and accusing him of saying that he was God, which of course he did, and which he was, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Maybe Jesus had this story in mind. How was Abraham saved? What happened to his sin? He was saved on credit. God says, I'm going to take your sin, Abraham, and I'm going to put it away over here on a shelf, figuratively speaking, because I know that someday a Redeemer is going to be born, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and when he comes, your sin will finally and completely be dealt with. There is no other way to be forgiven than the Lamb that God supplies for himself. And for you, and for me. My friend, I need to ask you, have you accepted that Lamb of God as yours? Have you received him as Savior, as Lord? Have you rejoiced in the fact that when he died on the cross, he paid for your sin? If you've never done that, do that right now. This is the last message in the series titled Strength for the Journey. Perhaps you've missed some. Perhaps you know those who need to hear these messages to be encouraged and instructed. We are making these messages available for a gift of any amount. We hope that you'll take advantage of that. We're making them available in permanent form so that you can listen to them again and again and share them with your friends. Strength for the journey.
That was Pastor Erwin Lutzer, concluding A Tested Faith, the last of 10 messages on the life of Abraham in a series called Strength for the Journey. We trust that God has used this series to teach all of us some powerful lessons. You can share these teachings with others. This 10-part series on Strength for the Journey can be yours on CD with our thanks when you send a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for our next Running to Win.